What's up, guys? Dave Lips here, and welcome to another episode of the Love and Thunder podcast. We got an awesome special podcast for you guys today. It's going to get out of hand. We've got my fellow original Thunder Bro co-creator, Andrew Charlesworth, with us, and we are going to go through our Thunder Bro origin story, Andrew.
Yeah, like, it's
how
so
did
good.
This all begin? I've known Andrew forever. We worked on seminar staff together for CrossFit headquarters for a long time. We got into years of working with the initial phases of kind of getting Thunder Bro going. And since then, we've both been working hard, having fun, and bringing Thunder in our respective disciplines. But Andrew, dude, it's just so good to see you again, man. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's different. It's a different world than when we started too. And I don't like to think that we changed the world, but I think we had a little bit to do.
I see the influence that we had everywhere from the first time we said we can just shit on a PVC and it doesn't matter. we were both in CrossFit. You've been a gym owner, right? So you own CrossFit 2A Bore, you and your wife, Jen, just two awesome people. You got your great community. And like a lot of the seminar staff members, like you'd have your day job during the week. And on the weekends, we go and fly somewhere around the world to teach a two-day CrossFit seminar, saying things that Greg Glassman once said. Yep. And in between then, you know, you and I started developing our own opinions on fitness. And the first thing I remember with you is, first of all, we just hit it off because we were total bros, like brothers from another mother.
You know, 6'2 and above, 200 pounds and above.
Exactly, like bigger guys, maybe stronger guys than the average CrossFitter. But we both kind of had a little bit of exposure outside of CrossFit before we got into CrossFit, right? So for me, it was like the traditional strength and conditioning background with the NSCA and kind of that, you know, that whole system of just, you know, traditional strength training and bodybuilding too, right? So like, I remember you telling me about like how you used to follow guys in like Muscle and Fitness magazine and all the different books you read that are kind of way well outside the scope of CrossFit.
Yeah, I remember. So we had just done a seminar together, and then we were chatting and we did a bunch of like hypertrophy work post Saturday night meal, which was so much fun.
Let's be more specific. We went out typically at these seminars, the trainers will go out and eat some ridiculous meal, like a ton of food, is because you've been working all day. You're so tired. Like the nutrition plan goes out the window and you just go crazy on as many tacos as you can stuff down your mouth. And, you know, this is right when we were starting to discover, hey, there's this thing called targeted nutrient timing where maybe you can put that food to use by doing some activity after you eat. And so we're like, let's go into the gym. We go to the hotel gym and everyone's like, what are we doing? I'm like, we're doing 200 bicep curls, 200 chest press, and 200 like bent over. It was something ridiculous. Like, remember, I just remember doing like 200 bicep curls and 200 presses with you guys just to like get an upper body, like a killer pump.
And it's like that moment of doing that, I remember thinking like, there is something here that's missing, right? It doesn't need to be you throw out like the CrossFit methodology of fitness totally, but there were some things that needed to be tweaked and added. And it wasn't more Olympic lifting to stand on one foot and slam a barbell down. It wasn't more look at the competition I did where I destroyed myself. It was, how can I leverage this fitness and look like an Adonis?
Yeah.
And that's where you had it in your mind, but then I sent you a follow-up email saying, dude, I'm not good at anything, but I'm going to get it done. And then that's where we started.
Well, you know, for me, it wasn't much of an option because after hurting my back and having the surgery, like I could not do CrossFit. Like that wasn't an option for me. So the big question.
You were so bad. That was so bad. Remember when I came to your house and you
in the walker and the whole thing, you know, and it was kind of like, well, if the doctors are saying hey, you can't train intensely or hard, like how do I grow muscle? That honestly is what really tipped it over for me, where like I have to learn about hypertrophy. I got to figure it out. And then it was kind of like putting these, it started with finishers, right? We're like, okay, we'll do the CrossFit workout after lunch or something at the seminar.
Yeah.
And then Dave, come up, you know, what's the pump up finisher or whatever. And we started like accumulating these nasty things. And from there, it started just expanding, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, we got together. I remember one seminar. We were always talking about supplements too, right?
Yeah.
And we were getting into like the hypertrophy stuff with CrossFit a little bit. And we had this idea for a supplement where like, hey, you know, I take all this stuff to boost my testosterone. I take ashwagandha and D-aspartic acid and Tonga Ali and D3 and all these things. And I like to drink coffee too. Let's do a testosterone boosting coffee. That was the idea. That was like the original idea, honestly, before the training programs.
Yeah, dude. Testosterone increasing coffee with education.
You're up there giving seminar lectures. And while you're doing that, I'm on my computer photoshopping pictures of a coffee cup with lightning bolts on it.
Yep.
And you come back after your lecture and it says Thunderbro coffee. And that's like the first thing.
It's so funny too, because the it went terribly, by the way, when we tried. Yes. You know, I had a guy from Detroit come down and he blended exactly what I asked for, and I had him do three different things. And I remember calling you, being like, Dave, it's all absolutely terrible.
It's hard because all the herbs, like the roots, they're very bitter.
Yeah.
So we tried that, and then, you know, at the same time, right? This is right when CrossFit, the seminar platform, was expanding, and Dave and Nicole were asking Cam and I to, like, you know, can you come up with some kind of specialty course you might want to teach? And I was like, oh, perfect. I'm exploring all this hypertrophy stuff. Like, we should do it. It's going to be awesome. And they were like, what do you mean, like bicep curls? I'm like, oh no, there's all this science that we had kind of started learning and all these facets to it. And I said, I'll write a journal article explaining it all, which became way too long and ended up being a book. So the original idea was sell the coffee along with this how to hypertrophy with your CrossFit book.
Yes.
Which was really just theory. And then you were with me post-op, like that week post-op, right? I mean, I was in the walker, but that's when we started like playing around with this concept of 8x8, right? Yeah. And it was really inspired by this guy, Vince Gironda, who had this 8x8, so 8 sets of 8 reps for 8 movements at like really light weight with short rest and lots of control. The difference was like he would do it all on machines. And I was like, well, what if we did it with like barbells and dumbbells and functional movements? Because maybe I can actually do that with the back injury. And you came out and we filmed like the 8x8 stuff, right? So. Yep. The original Get Huge program, I remember being in the gym with you in Denver, and we got to play this video as a promo, but it was like the 8x8, and you were like, are you feeling too small? And every answer to every question was 8x8. And that was right before we launched the site for the first time.
Yeah. And I think like I've played these stories in my head of why this worked so well so many times. And one thing, if somebody's listening, I want them to use this as inspiration. There's not all the, I've been a number one a lot in my life, where a lot depends on me and a lot rides on my shoulders. And I heard a quote before, and it was like, you'll never know how good you can possibly be if potentially you're not willing to be a number two. And I remember like holding on to that quote, because I'm like, well, I want to make sure I support Dave on everything that he has going, with being in the right spots at the right times, whether that's me trying to beat up people at the Arnold because they're dissing their shit, whether that is me coming up with hilarious ideas and then being like, dude, it would be funny if we did this, whether it's me finishing some of the finishers when we had a due date because we needed to get it to our copy at the time or whatever. And I am just so honored to have done that with you. I don't know if I could ever do that with another person.
I don't think it would have happened without you, because like I know what my strengths are and what my weaknesses are. Like coming up with ideas or concepts or training ideas, that's not hard for me. What's hard for me is like, how do I make a website?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and that was
a huge this, or how do we package it, you know? And I had no idea how to do that. And you're like, oh yeah, dude, I'd pop a Shopify site up in 2 minutes for you. Yeah. Like,
and full disclosure to anyone, I did not know how to do that. I taught myself. It would be, hey, go on YouTube. How do you start a Shopify site? And I don't mean that to be arrogant. It's just, if you really want something, you believe in something, like I believed in this and I loved this, you fucking go do it. And well, that was our brand.
I never even knew, like at that point, I didn't even know how or that you could sell an ebook. Like I thought you had to have your book published and it would be on a Kindle. Like I had no idea.
This is 2018. I think we started in 2018.
Yeah, 2018. That you could just like, so when we wrote this, like the original, like Hypertrophy for Functional Fitness, and I remember you and I sitting down and just coming up with movements that we could put into that 8x8 system that would make sense. We put it into a PDF, and it was probably, looking back, like the worst fucking PDF ever.
Yeah.
It's like there were spelling errors and it was super duper raw. It was just kind of like a spreadsheet with the things in it, and it didn't really have much design. But
it got results, that's for sure.
Yeah, I remember we launched in, was it like July maybe? Like I remember it was like a Friday in July, and we had put some money in, right, to make this website and to get some media done and yada yada. And I just remember the day the site launched, I was like so nervous that we were going to just like lose our money, because like you're a working guy with a gym and a family, like, you know, we're doing this as kind of a passion project. And we made our money back in like the first hour.
Absolutely.
it was crazy.
Don't forget, before that, we did get shut down. Our website.
Oh, that's right. We got shut down multiple times.
Because they thought we were selling drugs.
I didn't understand. And the truth is now fast forward, like, oh yeah, we refer people to testosterone replacement therapy all the time now. But back then, when we just tried to do, we were working on the testosterone boosting coffee, which was like, you know, a naturopathic, you know, supplement kind of product. And we didn't even have a product. There was no product. It was just a concept. It was just an idea. And we put a placeholder on the site that just said testosterone boosting coffee. And the site wasn't even live. It hadn't even gone live yet. And it got shut down by Shopify.
Yep. And one thing that we did differently, there's two things I'll even echo on that. Like, yeah, we put in money. And at that time, I was not an investor as I am now. And that was it. And you knew that. You're like, damn, dude, this dude just put in, I think I put in $2,000 to get our first shirt line going. Mm-hmm. And I paid the designer, and because there's no ChatGPT and things like that out. And I remember we both had our money back within the first 4 hours. And here's why: we pivoted. Everyone and their mother was doing online programming at that time. We knew that we had something so good that we could sell it for a low price point. Somebody who's dicks in the dirt, that used to be our thing, they're sitting on their toilet. They're like, man, I can pay $25 right now. And just, that's it. It's a done deal. I'm getting the information. I'm getting the knowledge. And I'll be honest, man, I don't think we can let's take the credit. I didn't see a lot of eBooks coming out before us. Yeah. I didn't. It was all programming, buy my programming.
Yep. And that pre-written eBook idea, I mean, like that was honestly at that point, the only way we could deliver it, you know, there was no other way. And so we get shot down by Shopify. We got to take the coffee off the website, which is fine. You know, that wasn't going to happen either way.
Yeah.
And so we just said, okay, we'll just start with the books. And we did maybe one or two teaser videos about, hey, this is a functional hypertrophy program or the Get Huge program. We brought a lot of our personalities, which are obviously like total bros, drawing from our inspirations in the WWF, the wrestlers. Like
you said, it was Def Leppard meets WWF meets, God, there was one more thing I think we put.
A little bit of American Gladiator in there, a little bit of a bad guy kind of thing. But to me, it was like, you know, finding that guy who kind of feels like beaten down, right? Who feels like, oh shit, like I'm so far from that person that I aspired to be physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah.
And it's really just bringing it back, almost like a regression back to like, no, like be that, you know, you're that childhood hero, that kind of like positive masculinity where it's just about being a male, you know, and sewing, being around other guys. And what do we say? Just like getting out of hand in the garage with your buddies. I mean, we all have serious lives with wives and jobs and responsibilities, but it feels so nice just to bro out sometimes and get out of hand. And I think we brought that. And then after that initial launch, where we realized, holy shit, there's a huge appetite for this out there, at least in the community that we know in CrossFit. Looking back now and having seen how things have progressed, it's pretty obvious to me why. And it really has helped form and sculpt our mission statement, which is to provide innovative solutions for bridging the gap between aesthetics and performance or for answering two questions, right? How do I continue to train hard as I get older without messing myself up and getting injured? And more importantly, how do I continue to make progress when what I'm currently doing is just stalled or plateaued? And you know, what does that look like from a training and nutrition and a lifestyle perspective to be able to find that second wind in your training life so you can really get into that untapped level? And for most people, it's pretty obvious that we all started this because we want to look good and feel good. And maybe the performance side is something we, for lack of a better word, you know, get peer pressured into, especially in CrossFit when it's like all about performance. It's nice to have that mind shift where maybe it doesn't matter as much about the whiteboard as it is about like the training effect and seeing the physical progress that is really attractive to people. So for those of you guys out there who are banged up and feeling like Andrew said, like your dick's in the dirt and you don't feel like there's any way to win anymore, this was the solution. And it continues to be, you know, just kind of keep evolving it like that. So then Andrew, we took those finishers that we were doing because every week, you know, we'd come up with some new nasty thing. We're like, man, we got to put this into a collection and put it maybe into a book. And that was our original hypertrophy of the 100 hypertrophy finishers that crush. And we go and we do this shoot up in my house in Colorado. And when we're doing it, we're like, man, like, let's make this a little bit more Thunder Bro. And I had this chicken head in my gym, this ridiculous chicken head that I'm like, what if we just incorporated the chicken head a little bit, you know, like what if we had that? I didn't know what we were going to put it on a mantle or something. And you were like, oh, I'll wear it in every photo. Yeah, dude.
It's just like, I took so much and I'm sure we'll get to like, as long as we have time, we got time, where, I took inspiration from a lot of things, like, and I don't think great artists borrow, good artists steal. Is that it? I don't know, whatever. Some quote like that. And, you know, I was looking at like Juju Mufu at the time. He's the guy who did the splits and he's super jacked and he just was having a great time, right? You know, like old wrestling things and things like that. And I remember thinking like that chicken mask on a mountain doing fucking bicep curls with a band is exactly who we are. And just two dudes just doing it.
And there were some ideas that got vetoed. Like there was the idea of me running naked through the woods, covered in blood, wearing an Indian head dressing.
Yeah.
That did not happen.
Yep. And definitely today, that would not have flown. The ones that I can't even find them in the book is the ones that I don't think we use the photos, but like, it's just, it'll be like you doing something and I'm randomly in a bush, like way far away.
Buy that hypertrophy finishers book. If you look closely at the pictures, what you'll see is that in every photo, it'll look like a training demonstration. And in the background, there'll be like a tree. And right next to the tree, there'll be like a chicken head. Like, yeah. It's in every photo. It's so good. But that's it. We were having so much fun with that. And, you know, it was just, it was new to people. And we've, you know, kind of continued to evolve it now since then. And we have so many new things and systems that just play on that idea of performance and aesthetics, you know, or being able to, you know, find ways to win again, especially as you get older. The fitness industry, a lot of people take it super seriously. And it is serious, but it's also pretty funny. You know, it should be funny. And you should be having fun, you know, training while it is can be an uncomfortable thing. I think when you're have that blend of suffering and laughter, that's the magic blend there that keeps you coming back and keeps you into it. So
authenticity too, man. I mean, there was we were authentic because we were leading from the front. This isn't something that we weren't doing. You got really into serious competitive bodybuilding at that time. I was still doing the fitness thing, still a fit guy, but I'm always interested in, like you talked about, the other sides of the token when it comes to fitness. And like, I like to expand my mind or learn more. I got into competing in kettlebell sport for fun, just things like that. Cause it did apply to a little bit of hypertrophy work that, I started to connect dots, right? It was fun. But I think after that, our next big thing was the first time we went to the Arnold.
Yeah.
I think.
Yep. And that was super cool. And like, you know, just to what you were saying, what I've realized is like that idea of blending the performance and aesthetics, like CrossFit's like kind of the tip of the iceberg, like every discipline, kettlebells, Olympic lifting, powerlifting, endurance sport, like that's their sport. But a lot of these guys just want to like have that sport be their hobby and they still practice it, but their focus is on their physicality.
Right.
So they're like the most jacked kettlebell guy, the most jacked runner guy, the most jacked Olympic lifter guy, because there is so much gratification that you get in building your body and wearing your fitness, right? So it's really cool. We rolled out stuff like our Oli Swole program and our Power Anarchy program and all that stuff that's kind of doing the same stuff. When we went to the Arnold, though, that was a big move for us because it's a huge fitness festival.
Yep.
And like we go out there, we went out there with a longevity clinic too. So remember we split the booth?
Yep.
Where like half the booth was Thunder Bro and we were like, we were making people do like banded push-ups for free books and stuff like that and getting out of hand. And then over there, there's like a Stanford doctor trying to talk to them about their amino acid profile. It was such a polar opposite in the same booth thing kind of thing. It's so funny.
But we sold. So I remember that was so funny. You knew that I loved selling. I was a big time sales guy when it came to our program, because it's something we built and I believed in it. And we sold a ton of books and merch to the point where, you know, we ended up coming out positive on that thing, but it's one thing. This'll be a good clip. I might even get hope. I'm sure your guys will pick this up. One thing I learned from that I'll never forget, and I'll tell every CrossFit person today, whether you're in the sport, whether you're an affiliate owner, whether you're just kind of half in, half out, there were some high-level bodybuilders that are role models. Role model might not be the right word, but just I looked up to them, and I got to meet some of these people at the Arnold, or we would have lunch with them. I think of Stan Efferding. And this isn't necessarily him, but I remember going up to a high-level bodybuilder, very famous YouTuber, at the Arnold and saying, and he said to, hey, you're the CrossFit bodybuilding kind of guys. And I go, yeah, man, like, it's nice to meet you. Like, I know you. And he's like, man, CrossFit seems so cool. But every time I go to try to talk to one of them, they look at me and tell me that I'm fucking stupid.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I said, for all of the community, I apologize. That's not how it should be. And I'm sorry that you had to deal with that. And that's lived with me ever since. That was really painful to hear.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I think on the affiliate level, that doesn't happen as much, right? Like affiliates are privately run and owned. They kind of take on the characteristics of the owner. But from CrossFit HQ, especially kind of like the old administration, like the Greg Glassman administration of CrossFit, there were definitely there were attitudes towards bodybuilding that would diminish it. It'd be like, well, that's stupid or that's silly, or we even like make fun of them in the level one, or like, this isn't a functional movement doing lateral raises. I don't know what you're doing, you know, this and that. It's like the fact of the matter is, I don't think those people really understood bodybuilding at all,
right.
And a lot of that may be rooted in their own insecurities. Who knows? Sure. But you know, now what we were doing is we were trying to break that down, you know, and kind of find an avenue to bridge the gap between that bodybuilding community, CrossFit community, because they're both interested. Like, no doubt, CrossFitters are really interested in bodybuilding, and no doubt, bodybuilders are really intrigued by CrossFit. But when you're greeted at the door by someone who's telling you that what you're doing is stupid.
Yeah, that's where it gets tough.
Ends the conversation right there.
Yep.
And you know, it's tough because I think a lot of the attitudes that kind of appear a little bit stuck up are so limiting in terms of evolving the program, right? And that's really where we're at right now is like, hey, things need to evolve. This is not a CrossFit specific thing. It's like, as you grow, like Thunder Bros evolve, all these things that do well and endure and continue to invent and reinvent themselves, they're constantly evolving. And to do that, you got to be willing to look at yourself from an objective angle and have some level of vulnerability where you check your ego at the door. And I think that's so funny that phrase, check your ego at the door, is a CrossFit thing. But in a lot of cases, I feel like that's the opposite of what's happening in terms of how they're willing to maybe look at themselves and stuff. And it's not like, I think we all love you know, CrossFit, it's such a cool thing. It's changed the face of fitness. If you go to any 24-hour fitness now, there's a pull-up bar, there's an Olympic lifting rig, there'll be some kettlebells. And I think it's brought some really huge impact across the industry. So maybe it's like taking the things that we know about it and that we love about it, but also being willing to evolve it based on evolving needs and goals. Yeah. But you know, you got to have a growth mindset to do that. So getting defensive does not work.
No. So after the Arnold, I think our next big thing was Vegas. Mm-hmm. Had to have been.
We link up with Stan Efferding.
Oh man, what a guy.
Where did we run into Stan first? I don't even remember where we ran into him at first. I think
you talked to him first on Instagram.
He was messaged. He loved what we were doing. He's like, I love what you guys are doing with the functional fitness and the bodybuilding hypertrophy stuff. And I was like, hey, we're doing this seminar. And at that point, we had the written seminar, the hypertrophy for functional fitness seminar, explaining, you know, why would you do this? Why would you incorporate this into a CrossFit program? You know, what's the need? What's the physiology of how this works? What does this look like for your training and you know, how you implement it? But we didn't have anything really concrete on the nutrition end at that point. So we were like, yo, Stan, we do your diet. We love your diet. We see the context. It's what we're recommending to most people. Would you want to run the nutrition piece of this seminar? And so we go to Vegas to our friend Zach Forrest Gym. Yeah. And we hook up with Margot Alvarez, who's got our wine company. And we're like, what if we did a seminar that's like also a party? Yeah. You know? So we'll do the seminar and then we'll go down to the strip and we'll party all night. Stan comes out. He comes in with like, I mean, dude, he had some crazy things with him, right? Dude,
as a business, if people are listening ever, they're thinking about small business, we really invested back into our business. Like, this was not cheap. I mean, the plane tickets to get people out there, the
video promos, that was like thousands and thousands of dollars.
I mean, and so to get out there, and then all I remember about that seminar was when we ran it in Vegas, because it was just everything lined up. That thing was fucking amazing, dude. We were giving people vertical diet meals. They got to go with Stan.
They were drinking orange juice and dextrose.
Before we did the workout. I ran like a CrossFit class with a finisher.
Yep.
We did extra finishers. Dude, people were probably wrecked after that day.
And like, I don't know why this happens. Like every time I'm running a seminar, especially a big one, I almost always get sick right before.
Yeah, you were definitely sick.
It always happens. Yeah. So I'm like sick, but I'm like, I'll figure out a way. I'm like crushing pre-workout to try to get through this first long lecture, explain to people, here's what we're going to do and why you're here. But there was a moment in our first evolution where we're running a sample day of the 90-day Get Huge program with the group. And we had tons of people. I mean, this was so cool, all the people that showed up for this. It was probably one of the biggest seminars we've ever done. And in the middle of the workout, just seeing the look on people's faces, we're like, holy shit, they're so into it. Like, this is so game-changing for them. I looked at you and I'm like, we need to do this everywhere. We need to do these samples everywhere. So people, because you can talk until your face is blue about theory and arguing semantics of exercise physiology. But until you feel it and you're like, holy shit, I'm like, I thought I was like a really good CrossFitter and I'm about to cry doing banded pull-ups. You can't recreate that. It's the same as like the first time you did CrossFit, where it's like the best way to understand it is to have that coming to Jesus moment where you're like, wow, this is different than what I expected. And that was a big moment for us.
Yeah. Oh, that was so much fun. So we did those, man, and it just grew and grew and grew. How long do you normally keep the podcast? You keep it close to about 30 minutes.
I don't know. We get out of control most of the time. So usually it's about between 30 minutes and an hour.
Okay. Well, yeah. Cause I mean, we could always do a part two later, but I just know like from there, we continued to build, we continued to reinvest, and we continued to like take on partnerships. You know, some were good, some were not good.
Remember, we did like body care stuff. We had like Thunderbro body care products.
Yep. That was with Doc Spartan, with Dale King. That was great.
I love those. So, you know, sometimes we would do a product, we're like, this is a great product, but for whatever reason, it's not hitting with the community. Yeah. And to be honest with you, sometimes you'll be like, well, we're just not in that business. You know what I mean? Like, we're in the training business. We could, but it would be taking resources away from really our lifeblood. And what was interesting to me, just from a business perspective, and this is awesome for anyone out there who's like got an online business, training or not, what we realized was like, with retail sales online, month to month, shit fluctuates like crazy, right? Like, you'll have a big month like Black Friday, Cyber Monday, Christmas and New Year's around November and December. And then it might go to like half or a quarter of that in other months. And that variability makes it really hard for you to run your business. So one thing we started to incorporate, and I think it was like maybe after about 6 months of just like doing, running the Thunderbro business, was we started to incorporate a subscription model, because as I was training and picking up more and more new methodologies and complexes, instead of just like writing a new book, we had this program called Muscle Anarchy that we could build a subscription around to give people advanced bodybuilding methodology with functional movements. And that way, as we build up that base or that subscription, we have a level of consistency from an income standpoint.
Yep.
And that consistency gives you the fuel to run your business.
Yep.
Because it does ebb and flow in a monthly basis with retail.
Yeah. And I remember really the last book that I was around for writing, which one I really loved, was The Shredded at Home, where yep. it was just like a quick burner and then a quick hypertrophy finisher. People really enjoyed that book. I just remember like, it got so big. If people are wondering, like, well, why aren't you guys still together? We had no malice of departure. At the end of the day, this got so big that either we needed to essentially live together or be next door neighbors, or, you know, and I agreed, like, yeah, man, you're right. It was hard, though. It's still hard today. Sometimes I think that personally, dude, it's so exciting hearing the cell phone. Not because we were like, it's like a capitalism. Oh, the cell phone rang money. It was more or less like, we're doing
it. Oh, you're talking about the Shopify.
Yeah.
It would give you such a boost. Yeah. It was such an unhealthy hit of dopamine.
I know. And Dave hated it. He used to be saying like, I hate money. I deal with everything. And I remember thinking like, yeah, it's going to continue to get so big that it's like, right, we need to, you know, I need to kind of leave now. And it's hard. If you've ever sold a stock, it's really hard, but you do sell it you don't sell it when you're at a loss. You sell it as it's going up or something.
Well, if you think about it, like, we started this thing as like a side hobby, passion project, really. Cause like, you know, if for any other reason, we did it because we wanted to do it. Yep. We're like, we believe in this stuff. I just want to do it. Maybe it flops. I just want to do it. And you know, it just quickly became a full, probably at this point, if you saw my life now, way more than a full-time job.
Yeah.
Especially as you start to accumulate all these athletes and build out all these systems where, like, you know, Andrew, you got a gym, you got a family, you do real estate, you have a chain of ATMs. You're just going on.
Dude, maybe in the bull run we'll do so. I'll help you do some Thunderbro NFTs and they'll have you.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be something. But you know what, Dave, and seeing you again, I mean, you can't keep us apart. If we're in the same room together, I mean, that's just a micro thing of what we went through. The hotel rooms, the sharing, the meals we, you know, the traveling we did, the spending the night at your house, the edibles from here, you know.
Maybe we wrote
a few books on some edibles. I mean, like, in all of that positivity, fuck, man, I do miss it. It is tough because
nice. We complimented each other well, because when you say that I hate money, I literally hate it.
Like, he does.
I
don't if anyone's listening,
I don't ever want to see a bank account. And even when it comes to selling, like, I love talking to people about the products, but I hate selling them stuff. So literally, we'd be at these events and I'd be like explaining the book, and then they'd be like, oh, I might want to purchase or whatever. And I'd just be like, Andrew, you know, I don't want to do it.
It complimented so well. And yeah. But that goes back to the, you know, if you're obsessed with always being a number one, you never know how good of a number two you might be, or vice versa, right? Sometimes it might, you know, the stepping up in the other direction. But I think it's so good to see you and Camille too, when your life, because one thing that I really was not concerned about, what it's like, I didn't want you to get overworked and over leveraged because of how much you were the brand. And that was, I was like always trying to think like, how do we do that? And it's like, you guys have done a good job with building out a team at this point, you know, so you can take a step back, not step back, but you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to, everything relied on me and you, taxes, fucking returns, you know, anything you can fathom. We were just dealing with it. And sometimes that did have to happen at 9 PM at night, you know, and we're just like, what's going to happen? And you got to go through those years, you know, if you're trying to do something.
I think initially, like with any startup, right, you're going to do every role initially. And even as a gym owner, you see that, right? Like, I'm the gym owner and I'm cleaning the toilets and I'm doing the scheduling. And I, you know, like that's part of the startup process. And we've been through so many ebbs and flows of like, you know, I've had a huge staff. I've had a minimal staff. At the end of the day, you know, it all falls on you. But looking back now, I can tell you, if you're out there and you're trying to build a business, start with the people first. That's the most important thing. Like, you got to have great people that are like A players, because an A player can play lots of roles, right? And so that's most important. And the second thing is the process, because we had processes that were like so fucked up where it's like, go to this platform, go to that platform.
Oh my gosh, our website took you 17 different
multiple places. Processors or payments and this and that. It's like, it's so inefficient. And then you also have to consider like the process for the user too, like that user experience. And then the final piece is the product. When we started, we kind of started with the product. We had the people and the product. We didn't have the process at all. And so, you know, hindsight's 2020, everything happens exactly how it's supposed to. And I've learned some very hard and expensive lessons through the course of this. But that's honestly one thing. And once you have a team that's in there, that's solid, I mean, it's such a beautiful symphony of just like knowing your role, being able to trust and hand stuff off to people. And it just makes you want to work harder, because when you're on a team, like, and all the weight is on your shoulder, that can be backbreaking. You know what I mean? And even if all the weight is on your shoulder, if there are other people that are playing their positions well, it just makes you want to be the best, because you see them shelling out, right? So it makes you want to go hard. And you also have that level of ownership where, you know, it's your baby. You know, it's like this thing you created. It's a unique experience. And I know you've had a number of businesses, so you get that.
But nothing ever took, I mean, nothing. I will go down in history, or history, I guess that's when you're dying. Is like, I will forever love what we did, because I feel like we had an idea and a product.
Yep.
And it solved a lot of problems. It solved a lot of problems people were having, and it offered inspiration specifically first to men. I know it's evolved, but specifically we spoke to who we are and who, you know, we got that guy out of there. And like, I think of how many men maybe were like having a really bad time. Cause as guys, we don't talk about that. Right. Like if anything, you know, if you ask a guy how's he's doing, he says, okay, you know, there's 17 layers behind that. And I'm not saying we're unique, but that's just what we do. How many guys looked at their phone, laughed at something, hit the next button, and fucking did the 90-day program and felt a little bit of life, and maybe we saved them on a trajectory of something terrible.
Yeah, and we have a lot of members. Actually, just past week we had one guy that came up, a person on our programming staff said, hey, this guy has logged 6,000 workouts.
Wow.
He's been with us from the beginning, you know, he's done everything. We saw some guys that have like amazing like 100-pound transformations and this and that. And you know, that's the thing about like, you've got programs, which are the how, but it's kind of like the culture and the idea of it, which is the what, you know, like then it's that idea of you know, finding your thunder. That to me is what I was trying to do after back surgery and feeling like, you know, just not liking where I was at physically and emotionally, and being in a place where I was surrounded by like high level CrossFitters, like my wife and all of her friends and everyone we know on staff. And I'm like, but I can't do that anymore. Like it's like Eric Zoolander looking into the puddle being like, who am I? So there's a whole world out there that people don't know about. And that may be incredibly fulfilling. It's pretty scary too, like diving into bodybuilding, just not knowing, am I going to look stupid? People were going to make fun of me.
I knew you wore that. We never really talked that, but I knew you wore that in your spirit and soul a little bit. But one thing you did is you fucking crushed. You did not say, I mean, you ended up going out there being like, hey, no, I'm here. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because that's who we are.
Yeah. And we've now had a lot of people that we prep and bring to stage, you know, it's pretty awesome seeing somebody be able to achieve that lifetime PR physique, or on a simpler level, being like, hey, I can train hard and I don't feel hurt anymore. Yeah. You know? Like that's really nice. And dude, I mean, like, I think that every time you see these mainstream CrossFit programs, like take like Mayhem or whoever, and now there's a bodybuilding program.
Yeah, that stemmed from us, dude.
We know where that came from, right? And I think that from a theoretical standpoint and a method standpoint, we're definitely still leading the pack, because our stuff is so like killer and advanced. And it's really, honestly, I tell people it's not bodybuilding, it's not CrossFit. It's something right in the middle that isn't even traditional bodybuilding. It's more of like high level bodybuilding that I've learned from my mentor, Alan Watkins and Hanny Rambod, and some of these guys that we were just lucky to come across who are like Olympia champions who know these intensification methods that are new ways for creating intensity. It's all the tricks that, you know, these guys would keep to themselves. And now we're just applying it to what's going on in the CrossFit gym. And it's so fun.
It's so fun. And people can do it. Not that it's not as big. I did have some huge goals and visions of, I wanted people to come to us for everything. If you wanted to be a professional rower, I wanted you to come to the, like, I had a way of, and then pushing everybody to be like, and hit a finisher after. So like to right now, you know, I work out at 6 a.m. with my class, but it's funny because I got a group of like 5 or 6 dudes who we go in the back right after, and it's like, it's arms or it's, you know, even something is, and I still, the only reason I know what to do is because of what we did. Like, you can give me one cable machine, and because we know the methods, you know, of, you know, time under tension or whatever is the goal of that point, you know, we just crush, and it's so great. And even something as simple as that was birthed originally from our mission of like, bodybuilding's not dumb, and it actually can make your life better.
Yeah, I think like the macro view of this all is that like this tribal mentality of building a bubble around your method is limiting, right? So it's like we pull from all kinds of really, it's just physical culture. Like the best looking guys are also the strongest and the most athletic. And that's how it should be. And we've always been like kind of direct to the consumer, Andrew. So it's always like selling a person an ebook or having them subscribe, and they're doing it in their garage. And then recently what we've had is we've had gyms now reaching out that want to be Thunderbro gyms.
Yeah.
And so we have a group of 15 gyms beta testing our affiliate formula. And part of that is the education, right? Because they got to understand like what they're doing. So this year, a lot of our 2024 initiatives are built around education and affiliate offerings so that people can evolve their program and solve the two questions that I think are most important to gym owners. And you should know this as a gym owner, you know, how do I retain more clients? So they're not going to F45 or just buying like Steve Cook's program, you know, to do on their own. And how do I create new streams of revenue, like body transformation challenges? And also, how do we bring more people in and provide offerings that are going to be a little bit more attractive to maybe someone who is more focused on aesthetics and but still wants the performance part of it.
Yeah.
These are going to be big nuts to crack, and we're just kind of in the initial phases of this. But all of this stems from two guys in a garage getting out of hand, you know, just wanting to think outside the box a little bit.
Oh, we did so good, man.
Yeah. Anyways, I could go with you all afternoon.
I know. I have our discovery, dynamic health discovery call coming up. So, dude,
before we leave, like, now, like, what are you up to now? Like, what's going on with Andrew? Like, what's your life like these days? As people know, the guy in the chicken mask who was always getting mad, that's, you know, the customer service agent who was like, this fucking guy doesn't like his book.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's still me at heart. I currently have a role with CrossFit as the Midwest affiliate. I just call myself the CEO of the Midwest. That might sound arrogant, but the goal is I like seeing small businesses do well.
Yep.
And my goal is to try to help as much affiliates out as I can. And even things you just said are great. you know.
Dude, you're so good at that. You've always set such a good mind for building businesses, and especially you understand the challenges of a gym owner and the CrossFit mm-hmm. model. Like you'd be a phenomenal counselor for people.
Well, one thing I will say though is that I do see a massive wave coming, and I do tell gym owners this now. Like I kind of have a little bit of a hybrid thing going on, and if I were to reopen my gym today, I probably would do more of a hybrid split where I have classes on one side. A typical 24-hour access, maybe some machines, yada yada. And so, like, I remember when you were talking to 24-hour fitness, or was it 24-hour fitness?
Who were talking with regard to what?
When I was still there, I think it was 24-hour fitness called, or one of those huge chain. And I remember thinking, like, dude, if we can get a because I knew that, not to say just what we did, but people are eventually want to be able to do some CrossFit style training and still be able to go and do a couple chest presses and then head in the locker room. And I was like, man, that would be a huge, huge win if we could talk to 24-hour fitness and kind of go through that.
And the thing that is pretty unique is like when it comes to Group X, class, right? I mean, you've got like SoulCycle, F45, Orange Theory, CrossFit. The group dynamic is obviously extremely attractive to people, right? Mm-hmm. Like everybody, people like people, the shared suffering, the community, you're not just alone in a gym. I think that's honestly one of CrossFit's greatest strengths. But one thing that doesn't exist is there's no hypertrophy group class. That doesn't exist. So as we start to build out these systems for Thunderbird gyms or, where we might want to take this, it's kind of coming up with like, well, what is that going to look like, in a class setting? Like, is there a standardized piece of equipment that we can put together where we can combine the functional movements with maybe some isolation work too? And it's going to be an interesting journey. And we're kind of like right at the beginning of it. But
yeah,
I agree with you. I think there is a revolution coming, and there should be. Things should always be changing. If you're not, you're dying. Yep. So it only makes sense. And the gyms that are going to do well, honestly, they're already doing that stuff. They're already like not just evolving their programs, but finding ways to generate additional streams of revenue with like online coaching or nutrition systems or all kinds of stuff. And so, some of that requires thinking outside the box a little bit.
Oh, for sure. But yeah, that's what I'm up to. That and being full-time dad, we'll have our third coming in April. So,
congratulations!
3-year-old, 1-year-old, and 0-year-old. But it's our first daughter, so it'll be fun.
Well, dude, I miss you. I love you. You're always a part of Thunder Bro, and I don't know. I will have to do this more frequently, even though virtually this bump here. But I miss you. Thanks for coming on, dude, and let's talk soon.
All right, dude. Love you, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you later, Andrew.
See you, buddy.
All right. Hell yeah.